Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price, Rebecca Clark, and Jenna Lawler. Okay, welcome to this session of our podcast on the Sexual Mindfulness Project website. So today we're going to talk about, can a marriage be happy without sex? A lot of people really want to know how important is sex to a good solid marriage? And so we want to just discuss that a little bit today. A lot of research talks about the importance of sex, but we know that sex is just one type of intimacy that's important in a good, strong marriage. We know emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, relational intimacy, even spiritual intimacy, all of those contribute to a strong marriage. But we also know that sex is a really important element of a solid relationship. We see that in research study after research study. It's pretty tough to have a happy marriage if sex isn't a part of that in some way. We know that during sex, a number of hormones increase during arousal that literally flood our brains and create a deeper connection or an attachment with our partner. Sex really is a powerful way to deepen a loving marriage. And it's important that we develop some skills in understanding the connection between sex and a relationship. So we're going to further investigate that.
I like the way you said, you kind of qualified, you said sex in some way. And I think it's important to remember, you know, sex is a really important part of marriage, but that it will not look the same over your entire marital relationship. So many things change. And we've talked about that on other podcasts, but I think that's important to remember as we're talking about the importance of sex to a marriage today. Sex can look really different at different points in the relationship and still provide that foundational kind of bonding experience, I think, that you're talking about, Shalom.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Rebecca, that sex is going to play a different role in our marriages at different points in our marriage, right? Sometimes it's for creating children, right? And that's a really beautiful part of the purpose of sex. But sometimes it's about, you know, just having fun or reconnecting after really busy, hectic lives, that might be just the only time where you really can set everything aside and just be with each other. Another really important point is that different couples put different weight on the importance of sex. And there's some research that suggests that couples who are happy attribute about only 20% of their happiness to sex. But couples who are struggling, who have a lot of problems and are really struggling to have a quality relationship, they attribute about 70% of their problems to sex. So this research is interesting because it points out that while sex isn't everything, when we're having marital troubles, sex seems to get blamed as kind of the source of the struggle. So I think that's an important thing for us to remember, that when we're having troubles in our marriage, we may want to blame it all on sex, but likely it's a number of contributors.
That's really interesting because I think when it comes to the frequency of sex and how often couples are having sex in every different part of their lives, I think it's really interesting that the couple is communicating that and that they are both on the same page. Because when a couple is really busy and they're in the middle of such a difficult season of their life, whether they're raising children, whether they're in school, or just work is very time consuming, it seems like it would be a bit difficult on the relationship if, you know, one partner is wanting to have sex more often and the other partner is just too busy or they're too tired. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Jenna. I mean, I think that that's kind of the age-old question, right? What do we call a marriage where one partner wants sex twice as much as the other partner? And the comforting answer is we call it normal. that's just a normal part of how relationships function, that one partner is probably going to want sex more often than another partner. But really, it's how they handle that difference in their preferences that creates to either a quality relationship and a quality sexual interaction, or it could create a wedge.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that when a couple is in a really busy time of their life, it's important to talk about that and just say, right now, we're both tired, we're both busy. And so let's find other ways to connect. And let's find other ways to have sex and to have that connection until we feel like we can have sex as frequently as we want to.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an important point that we shouldn't think that sex is the answer for all of our marital struggles or stress, nor is it, the problem, most likely. And so we have to kind of create a realistic expectation for what part sex plays in our relationships.
I think that if you are feeling like you're in a busy season and you kind of let the relationship get on the back burner, I know my own life experience says, guess what? It's always going to be a busy season. Life is just busy. And so to let little things slide may seem easy in the moment, but those add up to a lot over the long term. And so I think the idea here is that it needs to be a priority in whatever way that is that works for you as a couple. And that doesn't have to always look the same, but it's important to keep it as a priority.
I really like that, Amber. You know, we need to make sure that outside of sex, we're working at really seeing the needs of our spouse and developing a strong relational bond, good habits like earning trust and developing commitment and practicing gratitude and forgiveness. Because truthfully, that contributes to our ability to then, at those times when we have a little space, to connect sexually and not put it on the back burner, right? Not let these other things from the quality of our relationship impede that sexual connection.
And I think about the question about what is it about sex that benefits marriage so much? And, you know, whatever form it might take for you in that season of life or busyness or whatever, because it is unique to the marriage, you know, I think about your statistic, Shalom, of if your marriage is happily humming along, it's kind of it's almost a background factor, but I think it's so foundational. Like it's, you know, 20% of our happiness is based on our sex. But then if it's not going well, then it becomes so loud. You know, 70% of people, like you said, kind of blame their sex life or their unhappiness in their marriage on sex. But I think it's just an indicator more than anything. I think how much we're connecting through sex in our marriages is just an indicator of a little bit how much we're connecting in other ways. And I think that it is incredibly beneficial to marriages to have a healthy sex life. And like Jenna was saying, to communicate about that, because it's always going to be different. It's always going to be busy. It's work, but it's fun work, but it can be work that you have to kind of focus on and prioritize or think about. Like Amber said, it can slip away. But I think if it slips away into the background, that can be problematic, because it is one of the forms of intimacy that is just truly unique to a marital relationship. And I think we would be wise to prioritize it because of that uniqueness.
I think you're exactly right, Rebecca. Why do you think that being married is so beneficial to our sexual relationship? That's not always the case. You know, I mean, not everybody holds those same values. And so sometimes sex is occurring outside of marriage. But what we see is that, you know, maybe there's a benefit to being married for your sexual enjoyment. Why do you think that that might be? Why do we find in research that being married benefits our sexual relationships?
I was looking at some research, actually was done at the University of Utah by a sociologist up there who looked at a number of sexual partners and saying that people who just had sex with their spouse, that especially women were reporting the highest rates of marital satisfaction. And I think there's just something about that level of trust. I don't know. I'm curious to hear others' answers, but I think there's something about that level of trust, because connecting in a sexual way where you can really bring your whole self, to know that you're going to be there the next day and the next day and the next day, I think that makes a big difference in how fully people feel they can express themselves in a marriage or in a marital sexual relationship.
And to build on that, you know, I'm thinking of the sexual destiny model versus the sexual growth model. And just this idea that I feel like the media especially wants to sell us on this idea that, you know, you're going to just have magic chemistry with someone and it's just going to work out great if that's there. But in reality, that might be there and it's not going to last forever. A sexual relationship does take work. And that would be more the sexual growth model. And when you're in a committed relationship, in a marriage or whatever, you just know that you're going to continue to work on that. It's not, oh, this isn't working out for me anymore. I'm out. I'll move on to a different partner. It pressures that you've got to work on this together or not. And it could be that 80% or whatever that can cause a problem or 70% or whatever it was. But it just gives you that motivation that we need to work on this together and strengthen our marriage together through this.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I have heard somebody describe it like, if you can undress emotionally with a partner, if you can really be friends and not involve sexuality at first, right? So maybe that's the dating phase. Then you're committed and you've gained this level of trust that you really can share anything with this person. So in essence, undress yourself emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. If you can undress completely with your partner like that, then undressing physically is just an extension of that deep commitment that you already feel in the relationship. And like Rebecca and I think Amber were both saying, the value, the quality of the relationship is a little weightier for women in how they experience the sexual relationship. That's not that men don't value the quality of the relationship, they do. But we see that women are able to have more sexual enjoyment, more consistent orgasm, if they rate the quality of the relationship as high, right? And so that doesn't happen in one night stands or, you know, in casual relationships. This commitment, this trust, this deep connection is really most likely to happen in a high quality marriage. And so that's why, you know, we think as researchers, we're getting this really consistent finding that married people not only are having better sex, but they're also having more frequent sex, right? You have this partner that you know and can count on. And, you know, even if you're not feeling like having sex, like Amber was suggesting, and Jenna as well, that even if you're not feeling like having sex, you prioritize that in your relationship. So it's like, yeah, you know what? I know this is important for my partner. And so, of course, I want to do things that help him or her feel like their needs are met as well.
I just keep thinking about Dr. Schnarch's work, and he just always talked about sex as being something that really brings you together. You know, what you were talking about, Shalom, with the emotional intimacy component of it. That this is something, this is a way that you share love that you don't do with anyone else, right? It's an extremely intimate experience. And that's kind of the whole point of it. It's so vulnerable, so intimate that it's going to take working together. And through that, it really grows your marriage. It really gives you the chance to learn about each other, to accept each other, to work through conflict, to do all of those things because you have to. It's uniquely designed for that, I think.
Yeah, I really like that. I think of all the issues that sometimes come up for couples when they're engaged in sex, things like body image or emotional vulnerability, all of these things. If we give ourselves time and space to work out those sorts of things with a person, then our affection and our commitment and our desire to trust just grows. As we talk about things like, you know, I don't really like my body, and having sex kind of brings that to the surface. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe I carry a little extra weight or have a little droopy breasts or whatever, you know, the issue is. And your partner reassures you that those sorts of things aren't so important. And so maybe you could give it less value as well. Or, you know, maybe it's as your husband is emotionally vulnerable and it's kind of scary for him, then the wife is encouraging and saying, you know, I really love it when you share stuff like that with me. As we take these risks with each other and we're reaffirmed with love, it just creates this much deeper bond that I think you described, Amber. Thanks.
And it makes me think too about what is so unique about a sexual relationship And it's one of maybe the main times where both partners need to be set on giving and both partners need to be set on receiving and doing both of those things well. You know, in a parent-child relationship, it's really lopsided when the, you know, a child is little or whatever. But in a marital relationship, I think the sexual component of a marital relationship really asks us to be in tune with our own needs and with our partner's needs in a way that kind of the day-to-day stuff maybe doesn't demand as much. And so to really be thinking of the other and to really be thinking of ourselves as well. I think there's something really, just really unique about that in a marriage. And it epitomizes that equality and that balance that we're trying to seek in the rest of our relationship. And if we can capture it in our sexual relationship, I think it really can strengthen our bonds.
Yeah. And what you both are describing is something that takes time and it takes patience. We don't gain this understanding of each other in a week's relationship. This takes a lot of effort to just slowly plug through the day-to-day of trying to figure ourselves out, but then also letting our partner in and understand, you know, these weaknesses and struggles we have, and then just patiently working through that with each other. So marriage really is this beautiful environment where that all can happen. Okay, so how do we prioritize sex in our marriage, especially like Jenna was mentioning at the beginning, especially if we have a busy life where it just seems like everything creeps in and we have, you know, little or no time to set aside for sex?
I mean, this sounds awfully simplistic, but I think just letting it be a priority is the first step. You know, actually yesterday I heard somebody talking about that we all have all these balls that we are juggling in life, you know, whether that's work or kids or school or, you know, whatever it is. And there's a lot of them that sort of, if you drop that ball, you get immediate feedback. You get a bad grade or you get fired or, you know, whatever it is. And there's some balls that you can drop and not get any feedback right away. And I think this could be potentially one of those, letting your relationship slip. And so you kind of have to mentally make it a priority to keep that ball in the air yourself.
I like that, Amber. I think you're right. I think it's having a mindset, a responsibility mindset. I think about responsibility a lot, but where we take responsibility for our part of the sexual relationship, we don't think, yeah, if my partner wants it, he can ask me for it or whatever. I think exactly what you're saying is right, where we need to step up and take responsibility for it. Think about it during the day. Think about it at times other than kind of maybe when we're engaging in sexual behavior. Think about, what can I be doing to make this better, to grow this part of my life and my relationship?
Yeah, sometimes I like thinking about it. You know, the important things in my life, I schedule. If I know I need to meet with somebody, I set time aside and actually put it on my calendar. And yet some people feel like scheduling sex takes the fun out of it, that it may need to be spontaneous. However, if it's something that we set as a priority, it may be worth our time to just set a couple of hours aside each week. And whether that's part of our date night or, you know, some other time where we just prioritize it, we set time aside and say, this is a time where, you know, we may not have sexual intercourse, but we can certainly be emotionally intimate with each other and share things about our lives that we need to share so that we can feel that connection with each other. There was a couple I heard of that had lots of little children and very busy lives, lots of outside responsibility, and they noticed that their sex life was just getting pushed aside. And so instead of letting that happen, they decided they would set their alarm for 2 a.m. on Saturday mornings. The kids were asleep. They would have had a few hours rest, and that would give them, you know, 2 or 3 hours to just talk or be physically intimate or whatever they needed in their relationship. So that's kind of a dramatic example, but certainly one that, you know, we can see that if we prioritize it, we can find time to just have that space to share with each other emotions, our bodies, you know, improve and strengthen our relationship.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sexual Mindfulness Project and subscribe to our website, shalomlevitt.com, to stay up to date with the latest information on sexual mindfulness. Thanks for listening.